Pickaxe.
If you like to eat stress-free and healthy, like me, you can do it this spring with Factor. They have delicious, ready-to-eat meals, everyone is fresh, never frozen, and chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to go in just 2 minutes. You can choose from a weekly menu of 35 different options, including popular ones such as Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or like me, vegan and veggie. There are more than 60 add-ons you can discover every week, such as breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks and beverages to help you stay fueled and feeling good all day long. So what are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for your springtime goals. If you're looking for gourmet options, there are meals that have premium ingredients, such as filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini and asparagus. And they are no fuss, no mess. Factor eliminates the hassle of prepping, cooking and cleaning up. Simply heat and enjoy the good stuff. You can customize your weekly meals with flexibility to get as much or as little as you need, and you can pause or reschedule deliveries at any time. Factor is your solution for fast premium meals without the need for cooking. This month, we're celebrating Earth Day. Look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for our lowest carbon footprint meals. So head on over to factormeals.com/pickaxe50 and you can use code PICKAXE50 to get 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your second box. That's PICKAXE50 at factormeals.com/PICKAXE50 to get 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is going. Check it out.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, hello.
Hello, everyone. If you're
welcome.
If you're welcome.
if you're not welcome. You're not welcome. This is the end of the podcast. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Short and sweet. That's how we said it was going to be. So we've still not come up with a name for this.
No, we haven't.
I called it Kirsty and Briony's comfort zone when I put up the first one.
I like that. It's pretty comfy.
Should we keep it with that?
It's pretty
then?
Comfy. Should we just stay with that?
Yeah. Welcome, everyone, to Kirsty and Briony's comfort zone. There you go. I've made it official now.
Oh, perfect. Welcome to the comfort zone.
I T-posed and took authority. Is that what you do?
Yeah. Exactly. Perfect. Oh, no, I like that. That's a cute name. Now we can start doing merch.
Yeah. The most important part.
We've recorded
one episode.
The only reason, you know. We've got so many fans already. Let's start making merch.
We could have big, cozy jumpers.
Oh, my
and,
God.
Hot chocolate mugs.
Yes.
That you can't drink anything else other than hot chocolate.
Only hot chocolate, yeah. We could have like a big blanket, a big old
cushion.
We could
make hot chocolate. Like the, you know, you get the chocolate, the ones that are like big lumps of chocolate, but they're on a stick and you have to stir
yes.
it into like your choice of milk.
I love those.
We could have those, but in the shape of our heads.
Oh, my God. You're a genius.
But then it would just melt off like that guy in Indiana Jones. Which is actually not that comforting now I think about it.
It's cool though. That's pretty badass.
We're brainstorming.
Yeah. We'll add that one to the list. Put
a
pin in
that. Work in progress. Yeah. So for anyone listening to this, basically, I paused then because I was like, is there any point in me talking about this? But I'll get it out of the way.
Yeah.
We did what was going to be a one-off podcast, but we're back by popular demand?
Question mark.
Is that what you call it when we wanted to do it?
Yeah. Our own popular demand.
Yeah. We polled two people that might have been us.
Yep.
And they both said they would like to do more of it or hear more of it.
Absolutely.
I mean.
I love hearing my own voice.
Perfect.
I just want hot chocolate now.
I feel like it's too early in the day for me.
It's never too early for hot chocolate, Briony.
Do you know, one of the things I like about when I used to go on holiday to France as a child would be that they would always have hot chocolate for breakfast. But it feels different. You know, one of those things that feels different when you're on holiday? Like,
yeah, so you're allowed to do it. Like day drinking.
When you get like a fresh baguette in the French sun and you sit outside and mm-hmm. you eat it and it's like, and then you come home and you're still in like that vague holiday mode. So you go down to Sainsbury's and get a baguette and then you're like, it's not the same.
It's not the same. It's raining outside. It's cold. This baguette sucks.
I do love a fresh baguette though.
I do.
Just fresh bread.
Honestly, fresh bread on holiday, it just hits different, doesn't it? It's so good.
Yeah. I can't really remember what being on holidays like because
no, me neither. It has been so long.
Where did you last go? You've been to like UK ones, haven't you?
Yeah, I've been like little weekend breaks. Like, I went to York recently.
Recently?
Where else have I been? Well, obviously Bristol, but abroad, probably like Mallorca or something. Maybe Mallorca, maybe Spain.
Ooh.
But that was so long ago, I can't even remember. What about you?
I think my last like two holidays have both been to Norway.
Ooh.
One time in February and the time before, maybe like November time. So they've both very much been winter holidays.
Yeah.
I went down to Cornwall.
Oh, yeah.
That was a nice sunny holiday.
Cornwall is so nice. I've been there once and I loved it.
It's just nice being by the sea sometimes.
Yeah. And the sea in Cornwall is just so nice compared to the sea we have over on this side of the country.
In a really strange way, I like being by the sea because it makes me feel insignificant, but in a comforting way. Do you get what I mean? Like,
yeah.
it sort of puts you in perspective. Not like in the sort of existential crisis insignificance way that I have when I listen to Brian Cox talking about the space. That is like, oh my gosh, nothing has any meaning.
Mm-hmm.
But like when I'm by the sea, I'm like, but it's okay.
Everything will be fine.
Everything's fine. It just puts your life problems into perspective and you're like, I'm part of a bigger thing and this is nice.
There's something nice and calming about being by the sea. I don't like being at sea. I am terrified of the ocean, but being next to the sea is nice.
Yes. I remember one time I was on like a big cruise ship and it was so rocky that when we were lying in bed and our beds were like 90 degrees to the side of the ship, and when the boat tipped up, we would actually slide down the bed. It was like that.
Oh, no. Oh, my God. I don't know what I'd be like. I think I'd be okay, but I think it's like on smaller boats and stuff.
Yeah, you feel it a lot more.
Like, you know, when, yeah, you go to like the beach and they get pedalos out and go out into the bay sort of thing. I hate that. Like when people would slide down the little slides they have on those and go into the sea and go for a swim, I'd be sitting in the boat just like, nope, I'm not going in there. That's terrifying. Horrible. Scary.
Aww.
When I played Subnautica on stream, you never played Subnautica, have you?
No, I'm too scared that I'll run over a fish.
Oh, I run over them all the time. It's really hard to avoid, so that's probably for the best. But in Subnautica, basically you have an area that you're allowed to play in, and if you stray any further than that, it basically becomes a bottomless pit of ocean full of monsters, and it's this horrible deep blue colour, and I accidentally strayed into it once. But I was right at the surface, so I'm like just swimming along in my little submarine and I was like, where am I? So I ducked down under the water and it was just blue void and it scared me so much. I just started crying on stream and everyone's like, are you okay? I was like, it's the ocean! Oh my goodness, yeah. And honestly, it's weird. Like, I've experienced most of my fear in video games because I don't find myself in the ocean very much in real life. In Grand Theft Auto as well, like GTA Online, I remember we took a boat out to see if we'd get attacked by a shark. And I jumped into the water and looked down and I was like, ah! I don't care about the shark. I don't like the sea.
I realised that at the beginning of this, we decided we were going to call it Comfort Zone. And now we've just discussed our biggest,
deepest fears. Yeah.
And feelings of insignificance.
Yep. That's about part of the course, really, isn't it? But also, the sea can be very comforting. Yay.
Yeah, whoosh. Whoosh. So we're going to try and keep things a little bit shorter because the first one we did like four drinks. Well, I say we, three of them were mine. It was just me. But I thought if we try and stick to just one dream, maybe one dream each, maybe just mm-hmm. one dream between us.
Yeah.
And then it won't take our nameless editor 3 months to edit it. It was me.
The nameless editor whose name is Bryony. Oh, I just realized we didn't introduce ourselves, did we? Oh,
well, I said it's Kirsty and Bryony's. So, oh, I mean, but we didn't say who was who.
Who's who? I don't know. Who knows? We're the one and the same.
I am Bryony.
I am Kirsty. Hello.
By process of elimination. I've had a couple of dreams recently that I haven't recorded, and I feel a bit sad about it because I feel like they were better than the dream I did record.
Oh, well, do you want to talk about those?
I'll give a brief summary of those just because of why I thought they were cool.
Okay.
The one I had last night was, well, actually, maybe it was just more interesting than cool, but I dreamt that I had a baby.
Oh.
It felt very real, and it was just so strange because I've never had a baby and I never usually dream about having babies. So I was just like, huh, I made this with my mind.
I have also dreamt that you not like had a baby in the dream, but you had a baby on your person before. I have dreamt that. I remember you had a little baby hanging off you, like a little baby chimp.
Aww.
I can't remember what actually happened in the dream, but I just remember that one detail. It's just weird. There's just something about you and babies, I guess.
Yeah, maybe I am very like broody, but more for
rabbits, bunnies.
Yeah. I like nurturing.
Mm-hmm.
My other dream was cool because I met Luchasaurus, who's a wrestler I would like to meet. And basically I went to this place and I got to meet him. And then I was like, so he is, for people who don't know wrestling, he is part of a group called Jurassic Express, who are Jungle Boy, Luchasaurus, and Marco Stunt. And I was like Marco Stunt hasn't been in wrestling for ages. And I was like, oh my gosh, just that mean Marco's here? And he was like, yeah, he's fine, he's right here, because I've been quite worried about him.
Oh.
And he was like, yeah, he's right here. And then they led him out this room and then they were like, can you not talk to Marco, please? And they just led him away and I was like, Marco, are you okay? Oh. And I just never got to actually check up on him, but I did get to meet Luchasaurus, which is why I liked it.
That sounds like a good dream.
It is weird. Do you ever like meet someone in your dream and then I'm like, what if they dreamt about me? They're like, I dreamt I met this random person. How it works?
Yeah, that's definitely how it works. Absolutely.
Do you ever dream about someone, but it's a bit of a weird dream, and then you're worried that they know somehow?
Yeah. Or you have an argument with them in your dream and you wake up and you're angry at them.
I've woken up in like a grump with Alex before, and then when I've actually thought why, I'm like, oh no, wait, that was a dream. Would you like to hear the dream I did record?
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
And we'll see what's been going on in my brain recently.
Recently.
Okay. 3, 2, 1, go. I don't really know what was happening. It was like Simon Clark was running this class teaching you how to like, it's like he had to do a voiceover for an advert or something. So I was put with this random guy and we had to do an advert for like a cleaning product, and I didn't know what to do. And the only idea I had was that I was going to do it from pretending that we were, what are they called? The like minions from Dungeon Keeper. And just be like, oh, clean your house or something. I don't even know. But then when I was walking back to the classroom to show Simon, this hawk moth like landed on my face and I was trying to peel it off, but it just wouldn't move. And I was so scared about, like, I didn't want to squeeze it, but I was really freaking out about this moth. But then I was like, I'd gone to Birmingham for some reason and staying in this big hotel, and all I wanted to do was record my dream, but I couldn't find a quiet place to do it. So I was just trying to find a quiet corner, but I kept getting called away. Like, there was this lady who was like, we've had someone drop out of our ladies' lunch, you have to come and drink with us. And I was like, I don't want to. And then there was like, I tried to go upstairs, but there was like, the floor had broken, like the corridor floor had broken, and the guy who plays Doc Ock was there, and he was the caretaker and he was trying to fix it. Eventually I managed to get upstairs, and then I was on the phone, but I was talking to Alexa and she was like, I've deleted all your recordings as I've deleted all your recordings as I thought you were on a gap year. And I was like, I'm in Birmingham, we have a gap year. Yeah, I don't really remember much else. It was just very strange. There was something about an octopus, but I don't remember.
Wow. My main takeaway from that dream, right, is that you were probably thinking, I need to have a dream and I need to record it to do a podcast. So you ended up dreaming about recording for the podcast.
That was the thing. I remember I was worried, like, what if I don't record one or if I don't have any dreams? And I think I've created a sort of like, not meta, what's the word?
Like a self-fulfilling prophecy, is that what it's called?
Yeah, about like, I ended up finally dreaming, but about recording a dream.
Exactly. Exactly. And the fact that Simon Clark was there, I love that. This last time, who was it that guested in your dream?
Oh, we had Triple H.
Yes.
A cardboard cutout of Triple H. My dad, Jeff Goldblum, Adam and Dave or something they were called.
And this time it's Simon Clark.
Dr. Simon Clark. So I guess he was probably because I did the quiz with him and he was hosting that. Maybe he's now the host in my mind.
Right.
I get the feeling that Doc Ock was there because I've been watching a lot of the Great Pottery Throwdown and one of the judges reminds me of him. So I think in a lazy way, I don't know why. Yeah.
He reminds you of Dr. Octopus.
Yeah, like the guy who plays him, he just has, I think they have like a similar shaped head
it's
or something.
Alfred it's
just
Molina, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think. The crying man from Pottery Throwdown reminds me of the farmer from Chicken Run, and I can't unsee it.
But I don't know why he was fixing the floor. It was a very all over the place dream. I think the main thing I remember when I like from waking up from it was basically I love insects and they fascinate me, but I don't like them touching me.
Yeah.
And that feeling of having something on your face and you can't take it off. Mm-hmm. Like I feel very uncomfortable when I wake up from dreams where something has touched me.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
Especially if it's like something
like a bug.
Bit like, yeah, bug.
maybe the bug. I don't know. Maybe we've been talking about, basically I haven't recorded a dream this time because I just keep having dreams that are very sort of, not stressful, but they seem to be echoing the things that I'm worrying about a bit. So I wake up and I'm like, that's not very fun. So I've just not recorded it. So maybe like the bug is the fact that you are worrying about having to record, maybe. Or it's some sort of underlying stress or worry.
Yeah.
Maybe. Again, we have no idea what we're talking about. This is just me like...
Oh my gosh, do you still have your dream book? Can you look up Moth?
I'll look up Moth. Hang on, let me find the book. Where did I put it?
Big Moth.
To see a moth in your dream indicates that unseen damage will not become apparent until it's too late.
What? Oh no.
It's important to pay attention to minor details and not overlook things or others. Alternatively, the moth may symbolize your weaknesses, character flaws, or a dangerous attraction to someone who's not good for you.
Oh no.
Is it Luchasaurus?
It's Dr. Octopus. Oh no.
What about, hang on, HIJK, ABCDEF, FFFF. What about face? Where was it on your face? Do you remember?
It was on my left cheek. Because I remember, even though it was definitely a moth, it was like a massive moth, but it felt like a slug when it was on my face.
Oh, okay.
Like it felt like one big sucker. Like,
ooh.
That was my best explanation. I'm wondering if it's something to do with, I'm trying to piece together when in the week this would have been because I chipped my tooth at some point. So I wonder if I was just having like face fear.
Face
like something
fear.
To do with my face.
Yeah.
And the fear. I don't know, which is weird because often apparently dreams about teeth are anxiety dreams. So why wouldn't I just dream about teeth if that was the case?
Yeah, literally. I'm going to look up slug since you mentioned it. Wasp, worm, spider, slug. Okay. Slugs rarely appear in a positive light in dreams. Consider whether you've been denying some part of yourself. If you have, accepting this part might be the best medicine.
Oh.
They're associated with sticky, difficult situations or emotions with which you'd rather not deal. The only way to remove the problem is to deal with it slowly and carefully.
Slowly peel the slug off your
slowly
face.
Slowly peel the slug off of your face. Even though it's a moth. Slug moth.
Slug moth.
Slug moth.
That's a difficult one because I feel like I'm very heart on my sleeve. I find it difficult to hide if I feel a thing. It's why I very often like feel bad if I'm playing a game on stream that I don't like because I'm not good at
hiding. It. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm like that.
But I also don't like talking badly about things. So I'll try very much to be like, it's not my sort of thing, but maybe someone would like it.
We know the code now.
Oh no.
Bryony hates it. Oh, what else happened? The little minions, you said. Minions from...
It was Dungeon Keeper.
Dungeon Keeper. I've never played Dungeon Keeper, so I don't know what they look like.
Oh my gosh. It's great. It was like one of my favorite games when I was growing up. Dungeon Keeper 2. Mm-hmm. Daddy Pig does the voiceover.
Oh.
Which is another reason to like it. What's his name? Richard Ridings.
Uh-huh.
And he would just say random things like, your dungeon is full of yogurt. Have your minions eat it. Or your dungeon floor is very lumpy. Have your minions jump up and down. And stuff like that. I just love it so much. But the little minions, yeah, they just sort of scuttle around and you can just hear their little flappy feet and they'll just be like, I don't know why I thought that was a good idea for a cleaning product. I don't really associate them with cleanliness.
Unless they're like licking all the yogurt off the floor.
That's true.
I'll make it clean.
When I'm watching the tennis, I like to pretend that the ball children are minions.
The ball children.
Ball boys and girls. What's the collective? Are they not called ball children?
Ball children.
Child Dubal. Enfant Dubal. I believe is the correct term.
Yeah.
But because Alex really likes watching the tennis, and when we first started watching it together, I wasn't that fussed. So to keep myself entertained, I would make the minion noises whenever they were collecting the balls. When they started scuttling around, I'd just be like, mine. And then I slowly learned the rules of tennis, and now I quite enjoy the sport itself. Oh, I've gone off on a tangent and I've forgotten where I started. My brain has wandered off down its own merry path.
Good. That's the idea. That's the idea for the podcast. We want to wander off. But yeah, we were talking about your dream.
Do you think that if you have a dream about something... This is good. There's no way that I can't say this without sounding a bit weird. Do you think that if something's touching you in a dream, something's touching you in real life?
Honestly, yeah. Sometimes. I think I've had dreams where like tabs is hitting me in the face, but I've dreamt that something else is happening. Like, I can't remember what, but just like, I'll wake up and I'll be like, oh, he's hungry.
Yeah.
I remember when I was a kid as well. There's one dream that I just remember and I've always remembered for some reason. Have you ever seen A Bug's Life?
Yeah.
I was in a room with, what was his name? Hopper. You know, the bad grasshopper. Yes. In A Bug's Life. And he was like interrogating me, and I was like, I don't know what he was asking me about, but he was trying to get some information out of me, and I was like, nope, not telling you. I'm not gonna tell you. And then he was like, well, that's it, I'm gonna have to tickle you. And I was like, no. And then he started tickling me, and I woke up because my mum was tickling me to wake me up. So I somehow knew that my mum was going to end up tickling me in my dream, and then it woke me up. So yeah, it was really weird.
That is so weird. I don't understand things like that with how, like, I've had it before where my alarm or a noise that wakes me up will be in my dream, and yes. I'm like, but I'm waking up to the noise, so how did I preempt it? Like, mm-hmm. The time in dreams just seems so
distorted.
Yeah, is it that that's not how it happened and our mind just squished it together and squished it and expanded it at the same time to make it think there was a build up to this? Or like, it's so weird.
I think it probably could, you know, like, I obviously don't know anything about the brain and how it works in terms of dreams, but I remember another time when I was a kid, I was getting ready to go to sleep, laying in bed, and it was a school night, and I blinked and then it was the morning. Literally, I blinked and that was it. The night was gone and I was like, what the heck? And then I had to get up and go to school. So I was like, oh, I haven't even slept. I just blinked. So like, the time definitely ends up, I don't know, just a bit distorted when it comes to sleeping. Definitely. It's very weird.
You've reminded me of when I was in primary school and I thought I had a really big brain move. I was like, if I go to bed in my school uniform, I can have a lie in because I don't have to get up and get dressed. I remember going down to breakfast in what was obviously like the most crumpled uniform you've ever seen. And my mum was like, what have you done? Go and get changed. I was like, oh. I thought I was so clever. But I finally cracked
that
it.
That is, I've a got big brain the, move.
This is a speed run.
School run, speed run. Oh, I just remembered another one. You know, like talking about waking up to your alarm, but it's in the dream sort of thing. I got an Alexa recently and I have been using the alarm on it. And the other day I woke up, well, I dreamt that the alarm was waking me up, but I was like, Alexa, stop. And it just wouldn't stop. And I was like, Alexa, stop. And it just kept going. I was like, Alexa, stop. And it kept going, kept going. And eventually I woke up with the alarm going and I was like, oh, I was dreaming. It was so bizarre.
The ones I always find weird, I used to have this recurring wake-up dream where I would be running around my old school playground. And we would have trees in the playground, but they were like within little like raised squares.
Right.
And I would be running around and I would trip over the square. And do you ever do that thing where you trip in a dream and you wake up and it's like you're bouncing? It's like you've just jumped back onto your bed.
Yeah.
You sort of wake up with a real like, whoa.
Oh, the what, like a hypnic, is it a hypnic jerk? Is that what it's called? Something like that.
Oh.
Like where you fall over in your dream and you wake up like, whoa, like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I used to do that and I was like, did I just like sit up and lie back down or something? Or is it literally just a small movement that you do when you wake up?
Yeah, hypnic jerk is called. Sudden involuntary muscle contractions you might experience as you're falling asleep.
I would do it at the end instead.
At the end.
I do find it, if you're ever like sharing a bed with someone and if they start doing the little sleep twitches when they're falling asleep.
I am really bad for that. I never realized how twitchy I was when I'm falling asleep until like I had to share a bed with someone. I am awful. Like every like 10 minutes is like, are you okay? I'm like, yeah, I'm just twitching over here, don't worry.
We had the other night, I was in like Big Spoon and all of a sudden Alex woke me up and he was like, you pinched me. I was like, oh, sorry. I don't know why. Apparently I just pinched him on the arm really hard. And he was like, why did you do that? I was like, what? I don't know.
It's really bad, but I've done something similar. I had a dream that I had someone like grabbing me and I was trying to fight them off. So I tried to bite them and I woke up and I bit the person I was sleeping next to.
Oh, no.
I was sorry. I was having a fight in my dream.
It's so weird how dreams can like, when people, isn't there something that happens to make you stay still so you don't act out your dreams? And it's that failing that makes people sleepwalk.
Oh, right. Okay.
I can't remember the exact science. And then there's like, I think the extremes are, I mean, this is probably going to be very wrong. So if anyone understands more than this, please do correct. But I think one end of it is that it doesn't work and you sleepwalk. And the other end is that it works too well and you wake up whilst it's still going on. And that's when you have like the sleep paralysis demons.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I guess maybe it's like a little bit of that when it's let its guard down a little bit so you can still move and act out a bit. But
and then you end up biting people.
Not to the extreme of like getting up and walking around sort of thing.
Have you ever had sleep paralysis?
No, thank goodness.
Me neither.
Oh my gosh, the idea of it terrifies me.
Yeah, me too. I used to have a teacher who got it quite often. And I think she told me once that if you sleep on your back, you're more likely to get sleep paralysis. So ever since, I've just been terrified of sleeping on my back. I always have to sleep on my side.
I hate sleeping on my back.
Yeah.
And I think it came from when I was little, my mum was watching this thing. It used to be that if dad was still at work and I couldn't sleep, I would sneak downstairs and mum would be like, okay, you can watch telly, but you can't face the telly if I'm watching something grown up. So I would have to like lie on the sofa facing the back of the sofa.
Oh.
Cuddled up with mum. Oh. And I was listening to this like haunted hotel thing she was watching. And people were saying that there was one particular room where people would wake up and there would be a ghost sat on their feet.
Oh.
So ever since that day when I was like, I don't know, like 7 or something, I guess, I slept on my side because I figured if my feet are on top of each other, I could always get one foot out from underneath the ghost if they sat on my feet. Whereas if I was lying down, that's equal pressure on both and I couldn't escape.
Yes.
So it's this really dumb reason that ever since then I've been like, okay, I'm now going to lie on my side.
That's it. Thinking ahead.
Yep. Just in case I ever stay in a haunted hotel. One step ahead of you, ghost.
You're not going to sit on my feet.
But it's sort of, there's times when it's really bothered me because if you ever have like when I had my wisdom teeth out and my cheek was really swollen, I couldn't sleep on my back. And I was just like, I need to now. Or if you have like a really bad cold and you need to sleep like slightly sat up or something.
Yeah.
Those are the times that I wish I wasn't so scared of ghosts.
I've been struggling to sleep quite a lot lately. And I'm like, oh, maybe if I try and sleep on my back, I might sleep a little bit better. And then I'm like, no, no. I don't think I will. There's something like weird about me in that I'm terrified of getting sleep paralysis, but I like reading stories about people that have experienced it.
Oh.
Yeah. Like there's one particular spooky boy who seems to show up in a lot of people's sleep paralysis dreams called the Hat Man. And it's just like a humanoid shadow figure with a hat. Oh. And a lot of people across the world have seen him. And it's really weird. It's cool. It's like, I don't want to see the Hat Man, but it's cool that everyone's seeing him.
Weirdly, I literally just heard about the Hat Man this week because I saw a tweet of someone saying, I can't remember what it was. It's like, okay, so basically there's the thing. I think it was one of those, you know, the two sentence horror stories.
Yes,
that there's
yes,
a
yes.
Reddit for. There's a Twitter account that is bad ones of those.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of them was something to do like, I thought I was all relaxed and then the Hat Man showed up or something like that. And I was just like, the heck is the Hat Man? And it's I looked it up and I was like, oh, okay, it's this sleep paralysis guy. Honestly, some of them make no sense, but I love them.
I know. I follow that Twitter as well. It's so cute. Okay.
I really liked Barry loved playing in the snow, but so did the meatworm. Like, what does that even mean?
What the
Some of them are so good. But yeah, I think it was one of those that I was just like, oh, the Hat Man. Because my first thought was when I was growing up, I can't remember what they were called, but there was like the alphabet people.
Alpha? Oh, and they were all cartoon? Different.
Yeah, there was like yes. the Kicking King and there was the Hairy Hat Man was H.
Oh.
So I thought, for some reason, I thought
He's
it was this very
up.
Specific character, the Hairy Hat Man. I just thought maybe a lot of people were scared of him, but no.
He's moved on since they stopped that show. He's just haunting people now.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Oh, God, that's a throwback. I remember that. What was that called? I'm going to have to Google it after this.
I think I just had a book that had them all in.
There was a cartoon as well. I remember the books. Oh, my God, I completely forgot about that.
Those are the ones that have stuck with me the most. I can't really remember any of the others.
No, I can't. And they had like the uppercase ones and the lowercase ones, didn't they?
Yeah.
Oh my God. We've gone off on a real tangent here. Now we're talking about alphabet people.
Alphabet. Well. Did you have a dream you wanted to talk about? I know you said you didn't record one, but...
I didn't record one, but I do remember a few from when I was a kid. Like, for some reason, there are some that have just always stuck out in my brain. One in particular that I think I had when I was probably only... I don't know, very young, maybe like 6 or 7, maybe even younger, I'm not sure. But it was set in my very, very first house that I lived in. And basically it was in the back garden and I was looking at the back door and a big polar bear came out of it. And I was like, oh my God, it's a polar bear. And just when I thought he was going to attack me, he turned into a giant garden gnome and he fell over. And I was like, whew, that's lucky. So then I started walking down the garden a bit more. And we had these little walls just sort of on the grass, little brick walls. And I looked at the brick wall and there was some bricks missing. And there was a little cage in the wall that had a little hand in it, like a 7 hand that was moving around like the Addams Family.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, what the heck? And then I kept going. We had quite a long garden. It had a garage at the end with like a little driveway and a back gate. So this driveway, I got to the driveway and then it opened up. And there was a giant lava pit underneath it. And that's it. That's the dream. And I've always remembered that dream. And I don't know why. It was so bizarre.
It is so weird how like particular dreams can just stick with you. I have one that I've always remembered. It must be from around a similar age, I'd say. But it was like, basically, I got shown around a factory and it was like a really nice tour. It was sort of like, you know, Willy Wonka style, a marvelous tour of a marvelous factory sort of thing. And then just as we're getting to the end, the factory guy is just like, I have one final thing I want to show you. And he opens up this box and inside it is a small inch long piece of flesh.
Oh my God.
And then all of a sudden I look down and I'm on a treadmill or like a conveyor belt and I'm trying to run away and the flesh is just hovering behind me trying to get to me. And
oh my
I'm just
God.
Running and running and running. And the weird thing is, I still remember it so clearly. Like, I was on this conveyor belt, but it's in the middle of a factory floor. I could have just just at any point stepped left or right and got away and just run through the door. I was like right by the front door. But instead, I just kept running. And I remember waking up just being like, I remember it feeling like it had been a recurring dream, but I don't actually remember having it any other time.
Right.
But for some reason, ever since childhood, that has just, when I think about dreams, that is the dream that pops into my head. And I'm like, why?
That's such a scary dream to have as a kid.
And why a tiny, tiny dangly piece of flesh? I guess maybe when you're a child, you've not really experienced. Well, I mean, I had a lovely childhood. There wasn't anything scary. So that maybe that was the scariest thing my brain could come up with, was a little bit of flesh.
A little bit of flesh. Oh, it's chasing me. Oh, no.
Run away. But I can't run away.
Oh. Oh, dear. Yeah, I wonder what makes like certain dreams stay with you, stuff like that, because it's been so many years and I'll always remember that dream.
Yeah.
And yet there'll be a dream from like last week that I just can't remember. It's very strange.
I mean, I recorded the dream that we listened to like 3 days ago and I had already forgotten everything about it. I mean, hearing it back, I'm like, oh, yeah, yeah, no, I remember this. Yes. I remember feeling bad because when I was saying it back, I was very sleepy. But at the same time, I was also very aware that I didn't want to offend anyone from Birmingham because of being like, I'm not on a gap year. Why would I be on a gap year in Birmingham? It's like, oh, no.
I, to be fair, I don't know that many people go on gap years to Birmingham.
This is true.
Oh, gosh. There's one more dream that I remember. I think this one's from when I was more like 12 or 13. But I was in a room. I think it was like a classroom from my junior school, maybe. And it had some armchairs in it. And my year three teacher gave me some blue sweets. And they were like, they were sparkly. They were sort of like little spirals. And they were a deep blue and they were kind of glittery. They looked like a little galaxy. And when, well, I had a few of them from my teacher. And I found another one down the side of one of these armchairs. And when you ate them, they made you fly. So I had one. And then I was just flying around. But I think I remembered the dream so much. Because usually when you're like flying or running or jumping in a dream, it's kind of limited. Like you can't fly properly. But in this dream, I was like all over the place and it was great. So I just really vividly remember like being able to fly. And then I ended up flying around my senior school for some reason until I ran out of the sweets. So that was a cool one. But yeah, usually like dreams where I'm like jumping, like I have dreams where you do like the Mario triple jump and then you can fly for a little bit and then you end up landing again, or you fly but you're gliding and you end up back on the floor. But yeah, this one was very cool. It was just flying everywhere.
I've heard that is one of the benefits of like lucid dreaming.
Yeah.
You can fly. It's really weird. I was talking to some people about lucid dreaming the other day because I've never done it. But I was asking, like, because you're still in control of it, do you still feel rested when you wake up? And one person was like, no, it's the most tiring thing. And then another person was like, yeah, I feel really rested. So I was like, I guess it's just a very personal thing.
Yeah.
They were saying, like, if you try to focus on something specific, like your mug, and then if you see your mug in a dream, you know that you're dreaming, and that's how you build up being able to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But I sort of like dreams taking me where they want to. I don't think I'd want to lucid dream.
Yeah. I'd like to experience lucid dreaming. I think that would be a really cool thing to just try out. But yeah, at the same time, I really like the random direction that dreams tend to go in.
Yeah.
They're really good for like, especially when, I don't know why my brain links to this, but when you're like playing D&D or something like that, and you, if you're running it especially, like I've found that I've gotten ideas from dreams before, just from like dreams being so random and just throwing something at me. I'm like, oh, that's a cool idea. I'll put that in my campaign. Or I'll make a character based on that. And it's just, yeah. Or I want to draw a picture of that. And it's, yeah, I love it. I love the random ideas that you can get from dreams.
Yeah.
So yeah, like lucid dreaming's cool, but at the same time limited by, well, it's all limited by your imagination, but it's kind of limited by your waking imagination, whereas regular dreams, your brain just goes crazy.
Yeah, it's just sort of like, I don't know, just going to the cinema.
Yeah.
But it's in your brain.
Exactly. Oh dear, I think we've managed to ramble for nearly an hour again.
Yeah, I just looked at the time and I was like, oh no.
Whoops. Should we wrap up?
Yeah.
Okay. This has been nice, though. It has been cozy, even though we're talking about scary, fleshy dreams and deepest fears of the ocean and stuff. It's still cozy.
Yeah.
It's nice.
It's just nice having a little chat, isn't it?
Exactly. It's just nice having a chat.
I do hope that people, you know, like when we did the first one and people were like, oh, I'd like to hear more of this. And then you worry that, what if they're just saying it? And then we do more and they're like, oh.
No, we didn't actually want that. Sorry. we were just being nice.
It's like when people are like, oh yeah, we should do this again sometime. And then you're like, I will never see you again. So hopefully if you've got this far, you've enjoyed it.
Yeah. Let us know if you do and we can do more. And let us know if you don't like it, because we'll do more anyway.
We'll do it on a week by week basis. Do you want to hear more? If eventually it's more no, then we'll stop. No, we won't.
Yeah. No, we won't. We'll think about it, but then we just ultimately will not stop.
Well, thank you for listening. Yes. Thank you, Kirsty, for being you.
Thank you, Bryony, for being you.
Bye-bye for now.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.